Hey everyone, welcome to the Plus Platoon. We're a Disney Plus fan podcast that gives honest, spoiler-filled reviews of movies and shows on Disney Plus. We'll look at new releases, coming attractions, and we'll even go back into the vault to revisit some of the classic Disney that's on the platform. Make sure you're subscribed and you will never miss a moment. I'm going to bring in Kate. Kate, good to see you this evening.
You take this and you put it in this. We're taking this and we put it in this. We're taking this and we put it in this.
So many comments I could make, and so many of them are too easy. So let's just bring in Pete. Pete, how are you doing tonight? If I can get him to work. There we go. Pete, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Guys, we didn't watch Avatar.
You're right. We did not watch Avatar. We're not. Well, okay. We watched this, and it's basically Avatar.
It's not like Avatar.
Steve, two more days, right?
Yeah, two more days.
The teachers are drinking.
Yes, the teachers are drinking. Some of us have been done for a couple weeks, and some of us, like Steve, still have a couple more days to go. So, but if you have not already, please like, subscribe, share. We got some fun shows coming up. And guys, we need your advice. What do you want us to watch for 4th of July? Okay. And we're looking for answers that are not Hamilton, if
the
possible.
Sandlot. Again.
But yeah, if you've got a show or something you want to watch for 4th of July, let us know. If it's Hamilton, you really feel strongly about that, let us know that too. So, but this week, we watched the Pixar's new Hoppers. Hoppers came out this last spring. And as much as I like to say it's not like Avatar, it's Avatar if Avatar took place in Fern Gully. It's a gal who, a young lady who feels very strongly about a very specific part of nature, and her grandma helps guide her. And then she goes and goes beyond the reef. And oh, wait. Did the beginning of this feel like that to anybody else, by the way?
It had some
Moana feeling to it.
I was more thinking like Pocahontas and Grandma Willow, but it definitely felt like something you'd seen before.
Yes, definitely. And not the Avatar part of it.
No.
But what we keep talking about the Avatar part is there is a developer who wants to build a highway through this little pond area or glen or glade or whatever she calls it. And she can't do anything. And then she, at her university she's going to, they have a program where basically they can put human minds into robot animals. And she gets transferred into a beaver because all she has to do, the whole idea is all she has to do is get beavers to come back and they will dam the stream and all the other animals will come back and they will stop building the road. But, of course, it's never that simple. And to make a long, long story short, they end up figuring out a way for the heartless businessman to turn over a new leaf and And
a lot of chaos ensues in this movie.
Yes. And there are animal kings of the different kingdoms, phylums, something like that.
I was thinking phylum. I'm not sure if that's right, though.
Is it kingdom, Steve?
I think it's kingdom.
Okay. Anyway, like reptiles, amphibians, those groups each have a king. And it's all about, she doesn't want to reveal who she is to the mammal king, who is also a beaver. And it's about how she realizes she was wrong and she confesses, and then they all forgive each other and they all figure out a way to save everybody and make everybody happy except for the insect king and butterfly. But which actually made the amphibian king rather happy. So, as we talked about, lots of different things, but what was king of the movie? What worked best about this movie? And Pete, you are the only one, I believe, who saw this in theaters. So I will let you go first on this.
I did. I think this movie is very funny. It's there's a lot of laughs in it. I even seeing it the second time, I still laughed. There's a lot of unexpected stuff that happens, but also, as I said, just very funny. It's very kind of crazy events happen. It's really, you know, it's a kind of a goofy, not a goofy movie. That's a different movie. But, you know, so I really enjoyed that aspect of it, and that it was a funny movie that really had a lot of jokes that made you laugh. Some wacky humor, some subtle humor, lots of different types of humor. That's what I enjoyed the most about it. Even on second watching, there was still a lot of laughs to be had. So for me, Steve?
I'm going to agree with you. I think the sort of, I guess, the zaniness of the movie, like it bounces around everywhere. I'm like you, there are times I just laughed out loud. I think one for me was when they accidentally kill the insect queen, and then she puts her hands on the wall and they walk away, and then you see the insect.
The smear.
The smear. That just made me crack up because like small little like detail. And then Diane. So Diane.
Which one was the Oh, the shark. Yes. The
shark. Yeah.
Yeah, that was possibly my somewhat favorite little small moment of it. But yeah, I mean, it felt a lot closer to a traditional Pixar movie than we have seen in a while. I liked the fact that they had an original story. Okay, original-ish story. But that was probably my favorite part of it is, for the most part, the story held my attention. I've got, you know, there's a couple issues I have with it, which we'll pick up in the next section. But, yeah, I liked the story worked. Now, as Pete said, it felt like a movie you'd seen before because a lot of these environmentally forward movies kind of feel the same, but this one had enough of those unexpected moments of wait, that's the joke they pulled, that's kind of funny, that's kind of clever, that I really enjoyed that part. So Kate, how about you?
So I'm not gonna lie, I kind of went into this thinking I wasn't gonna like this movie very much, and it surprised me. I turned it on this morning as I was walking on my walking pad, and like it really held my attention. I was literally like, because we know Pixar so well, that I was like, okay, so she's going to turn into a beaver. Like, okay, so where's the magic that's going to make her? Okay, or the grandma's going to come back as a beaver. And then when it was like, oh, it's a robot. Okay, that's clever. Okay. Well, yeah. Obviously, I figured out she was gonna come back as a beeper. Pete nailed it. Like, there were parts that made me laugh out loud, and of course, in this moment, I can't entirely remember what they were. But
one of my favorite lines was, "Go ahead, flap around and find out."
There was one missed opportunity that I wanted when they were in the car and she was typing to Jerry or whatever. And then she said something and she was like, oh, and she wanted, I really wanted them to put say like, oh, for duck's sake or something. Like, because that's what it always autocorrects to. When everything was going bad and she's typing, I wanted them to be like, oh, for duck's sake. But this, I enjoyed this movie. I thought the use of music, because they only used like two songs, I think. I thought the use of music was really good.
Songs, yeah.
Two main songs, yeah.
Working for the Weekend and...
Yeah.
Whatever the one was near the beginning.
Yeah. That they do the yoga to or whatever. But yeah. It just... I enjoyed it. I thought the voice acting was good. I enjoyed the animation. I liked the bit with the grandma and kind of bringing that in. And I like that it was kind of an activist movie. Do we have that? Is that a Wally, like a nature activism? Do we have that?
Yeah, well, what Steve said, Wally's a little like that. I mean, obviously. Yeah.
Ferngully was DreamWorks.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess Wally. That's a good point.
Yeah.
But Wally's like, been a while. I like that this wasn't a love story. I like that it had a strong female lead character and it wasn't a love story. I like. This movie, it surprised me. I have some criticisms of it, but I enjoyed it for the most part. I enjoyed it. I think I would have enjoyed seeing this one in theaters, Pete.
I think I also felt like it went places you weren't expecting it to go. Like with the whole plot of like the animals trying to kill Jerry,
Jerry. Yeah.
Like you never, like you didn't really, like as that's going on, you're like, oh,
right.
And she is too. She's like, wait, that's not what I wanted to do.
Right. That, and you're 100% right. That there were little pieces of it that were
darker
that I didn't see it coming. And I kept being like, okay, so when is one of the good guys going to turn around and all of a sudden be the big bad, like that happened in Zootopia 1 and 2?
There was no heel turn.
Yeah, but I was expecting it because it caught me off guard in Zootopia 2. So I was like, I'm not going to let it catch me off guard this time. And then it didn't happen. But yeah, I overall enjoyed this movie.
Did anyone else see the On a Wire birds?
Yes.
Just the little clip is everyone got the little.
Oh, I missed that. I missed that.
The little blue birds with the little.
Yeah, in the council meeting. There's the birds from the old short.
Okay.
Birds on a Wire. Yeah.
Okay. Am I crazy?
Yes.
Or, I mean, obviously, when Dr. Sue was like, we're not doing hopping anymore. We're going to do this.
Yes. Yes.
Did you pause it?
I did pause it. Okay. So the collar was collar from up. You had Wally there. You had Mo. You had people into cars.
Yep.
You had people into planes, and they said no, too far, too much.
Well, they had dogs flying planes, which was also from Up.
It was the dogs flying planes. Too much.
Yeah.
Too much.
And
I think that they should have taken
one more
with that.
Catch it.
Well, and the joke of that is more than just that joke, but like there's, I don't know if you guys have ever seen like the Pixar theory.
Oh, yeah.
Which is this theory that every Pixar movie takes place in the same universe. And that there's like all these wild explanations in Pixar. And the Pixar theory is ridiculous because it's like, and then humans mutated into cars and line everything up that all of it is one, you know, giant story, which it clearly is not. But it played into that concept that, oh, yeah, all these stories are related. So,
which apparently Avatar is in the Pixar universe now. So
that's true.
did anyone see the Pizza Planet truck? Because I wasn't watching for it at all.
I didn't know.
Okay. Okay.
Well, it's always there, yeah.
It's always there somewhere. So if that's what we was King of the Murphy, what about this should be damned? And before I get letters, this is DAMMED, like a river.
Mm-hmm.
So what should have been... See, what should have been damned, Steve?
I had a problem with how the animation styles for me sometimes clash. Like they had this amazing nature with the logs and the dam. And then sometimes the animals seem too like cartoony if you're going that direction. Like the beaver that they hopped into, Mabel, didn't really look like a beaver sometimes. You showed me the picture of the beaver and it looked more like a chipmunk.
And then did you notice when the Jerry hopped into it, and all of a sudden it had the hair?
Yes.
It was
because, I mean, I'm fine if you want to go cartoony bear, because Diane was a very cartoony shark. Was it Alan the bear? Is that correct? Looked very Alan, cartoony. Yeah. But it felt like, which way are you going to go with it? Are you going to go more realistic, yeah, or are you going to go the cartoony part? So, I mean, I know that's nitpicking, but...
No, see, I don't think it is, because I think they were definitely going with the cartoony style more.
Then they go cartoony with your environmental thing. You don't need to be me, the beautiful crystal water and stuff.
That's fair. So, and by the way, the Pizza Planet is apparently in one of the cases as she's running out and escaping in the beaver robot. Okay. It's in the cases. But anyway, you guys ever been sitting in church and you have a pastor that's had a really, really decent sermon? And he comes to a point where it's great, and yes, we're wrapping up. And then he just keeps going, and he hits another one of those points. And then, yes, okay, let's wrap it up here. And he keeps going. That's this movie. This movie could have ended in an hour and 12 minutes. It did not need the last half hour, because it could have ended an hour and 10 minutes, and nothing changes. So, because that's when the mayor decides, okay, you're right, I need to fix this. And it's, yes, you would have missed a little bit of the part with, the insect king and that part. But to me, it's one of those, okay, all right, we're getting ready to wrap this up. Cool. And then I hit pause because I wanted to go get something to drink. And we still had like 35 or 40 minutes left. And so they didn't know when to stop. I think it's now what they had after that was okay. But if you're making a movie for kids and you're coming to a wrap up and you don't, you lose the kids and some of the adults. So that was my biggest criticism of this, was either they needed to keep going and not make, the mayor turn quite so easily, or they needed to wrap it up sooner. And it was just one of those two. So, Kate, what didn't work for you?
Well, let me ask this. You said it, but I didn't process it. So what was the moment that you think it should have?
Okay, when they're in the van and mm-hmm. the mayor understands that, and like they turned him into the robot, or they're getting ready to make him into the robot, and it's, she has realized how bad of a friend she has been to the King Beaver, and he is realizing that you're right, I need to change this.
Yeah.
That was still with 30 minutes left in the movie.
Okay. So the reason I asked is because I really, really liked this movie until I didn't. And I couldn't put my finger on when it flipped, because I watched the whole thing and I was pretty hooked the whole time. But there was, and I need to probably go back and watch it again to figure out when the flip happened. But there was a point where it was like, I think this movie has lost me. I think we've lost the plot a little bit.
Maybe when they dropped the shark, jumped the shark.
No, I think it was when, I think it was after the caterpillar or butterfly or whatever took over the body, and then the fire
like, could have been non-existent.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute, this just got really like a lot. Like this,
yeah,
yeah,
it got very, for a movie that was pretty like, yes, a little bit like serious in points, but then
it was pretty light up to that point.
Think that now that I'm talking through it, I think that might have been, and like having her grandmother's jacket burn, it was pretty light and funny up until then.
And then it
got really serious and heavy. And I think that's when it lost me. And I didn't mind how they ended it with the beaver and the phone, but it just, it was kind of a whiplash emotional moment. And I'm glad we're talking through it, because I literally was like, I can't figure out when it was. And I think it was the fire. I think that was so intense left field that it threw me. So, Pete?
You guys caught a lot of, I think my issues with this movie are the emotional beats didn't totally work for me. I appreciated that they did it, but like the starting part with the grandma and then, as you say, the burning of the jacket and everything like that. I was kind of just like, yeah, they've done this before, but they've done it better with that kind of stuff. And then even at the end with the emotional beat, it's like those didn't quite work. The funny stuff and the plot and the craziness of it all, I really enjoyed. And there's a lot in this movie that I did enjoy, but I don't think it doesn't reach like top tier Pixar because the emotional stuff didn't hit for me. And I think it was kind of some of the things you guys said, that definitely helped it. I mean, it does take that kind of sort of dark turn at the end, but you know, and then the other thing is like, Mabel's not a very nice person.
No.
For most of the movie.
Mabel's not really a connectable character.
Right. So I think the main protagonist, and like the further she goes,
the worse it is.
More unlikable she becomes almost. And you know, especially you said that ending, like where there's this giant fire that's gonna, and I'm like thinking, like, you know, I get the reason, but like this person did all this, she did all this, yeah. And like the emotional comeuppance of it doesn't match the seriousness of it all. So I think that's what, you know, what Kate's saying is like it gets to that certain point at the third or fourth, and I agree with Derek, too many endings, but it's very common today, you know, 2026 problem with movies, too many endings.
Specifically in this movie we should have ended there. Okay, we could have ended there. And I'll think about it in the hindsight, but this, it was as I was watching it.
Yeah. So it doesn't, the movie doesn't, as I said, it's hard to put my finger on exactly what doesn't work, but there's things that don't work that keep it from being a great movie to me.
That's fair. Okay, so our main character in this hops into a beaver. They also have storks that they have hopped in, a stork they've hopped in. They have a bunny that they've hopped into. I want to know if you could be able to go hop into an animal and be able to go talk to a group of animals, what animal would you like to hop into? Kate, I will start with you.
A hummingbird. I want to be a hummingbird because their wings go brrr, but everybody thinks they're cool. Like everybody, you won't see a person who's like, oh, a hummingbird, that's dumb. Like nobody does that. Literally no one does that. And like, and they get to drink sugar water all the time. Hello. Like,
yes, just what we need, even more hopped up, Kate.
I would be a hummingbird, man. I thought about being like an eagle or an albatross, but that just seemed so. Well, I figured somebody else.
An albatross has been done.
Yeah, man. I'd be a hummingbird. Pete, what about you?
Yeah, my question was, do I have the automatically have the abilities of that animal? Because
the physical abilities, yes.
Because then I would want to be like an owl. I would want to like be able to fly and not be afraid to fly. But I don't want to be a little tiny buzzy bird.
Yeah.
Like a hummingbird?
So, like a hummingbird.
If it gets too cold, yeah.
I promise I won't eat you, Kate.
Yeah. I'm going to go a little bit different direction. I would like to hop into one of my cats so I could talk to my other cat.
Oh.
Because I have two cats. So that would like get the lowdown.
I did think cats.
How much danger your life is in.
Yes. I have Bert and Ernie, and I'm thinking.
Well, no, you wouldn't Bert. Hop into them. You would hop into a robot cat.
A third.
And then you'd be able to talk to both of them.
Oh. Ernie would hate that then. Ernie hates his other cats. I would want them. So, okay. How about you, Derek?
I'm going to go like a dolphin or a whale or something because I'm fascinated by the ocean, as is Evan's by the fact that I spend a week on the beach just about every year. But I would love to be able to go and explore and maybe even do like, even more like a sperm whale or something. So I go like super deep and figure out what's down there type thing. I think that would be really interesting. Plus if I'm like a sperm whale or something, nothing's going to actually come eat me. So I don't have to worry about that.
See, that was my big thing was I got to be at the top of the food chain.
I have to be the apex predator. Yes.
Like I was thinking like bear or as I said, owl. I mean, you know, the top birds are the eagle or whatever. Right, so, yeah.
Okay. Guys, any other thoughts on hoppers or are we ready for our pixie dust rating?
I did want to comment. The guy that directed this, prior to this, he did a show on the Cartoon Network called We Bear Bears.
And oh, okay.
If you've never seen that show, it's actually a pretty funny show. And there's definitely a lot of the humor from this that's also in We Bear Bears. So if it's, I don't think it's on Disney Plus, but you know, if you ever get a chance to check it out, it's a pretty fun show. And the character design is very similar. The main characters are a polar bear, a grizzly bear, and I think a brown bear or something like that. And, they're all very round, just like the characters in this Fair movie. So.
Okay. Well, as we always do, we do cups of pixie dust out of 5 for any movie or series we rate. So 4, Hoppers, cups of pixie dust out of 5, Kate.
I'm going to give it a 3. And the reason I'm giving it a 3 is because I think I would watch this movie again. If it was on, I think I would sit and watch it. So, and if I can say that about a movie, it's usually a 3. I wouldn't go any higher than that, but I'm going to give it a solid 3. Pete?
That's actually what I'm going to give it, and for pretty much the same reason. This is, to me, a watchable movie. It's not one I would go back to a lot, per se, but if, you know, a couple years from now, I'm flicking around and I see it on Disney Plus, I'm like, yeah, I'll watch that again. I haven't seen that in a while. So, yeah, I give it a 3 also.
I'm also going to 3. My other half said he would give it a 3.5. He thought it was really funny and enjoyed it, but it was enjoyable. Like if it was on TV or something, I'd probably stop and watch it for a little while. But definitely a strong 3.
And we're going to be straight across the board of 3s. I feel like I would want to watch this again at some point. I don't think I would want to watch it soon, but I think I want to watch it again at some point down the road, just because I feel like this is either one that my 3 would go one, it would not stay a 3 if I watched it again in like 6 months. It would either go up or I think it would go down. I don't know that it would necessarily stay right at a 3. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. No, I get that. I mean, I think I lowered it because I think if you had asked me when I saw it in the theaters, I probably would have said 3.5. And I think this time I watched it maybe with a little more. I find when you rewatch a movie, you watch it maybe with a little more critical eye to repeatability and things like that. And so like that's kind of why I ended up on a 3, and that watching it again, I was like, oh, there's things that I don't really like that much as much about this movie.
So. And I would be, if I could give it like a 2.75, I probably would. But
we all gave something. When's the last time we all gave something the same rating that wasn't like a 1?
It's been a minute.
It has been a while. Honey, I have some kids. We gave straight 3s.
Oh,
really?
Okay.
Oh. Yeah.
So that wasn't that long ago. So.
Oh, okay.
Doesn't happen very often, though.
No, it doesn't. So, Kate, what do we got for Disney Plus news this week?
Yes. I got to click on my other. There we go. All right. For Disney Plus news, 1, a new full-length Christmas special, Mickey's Home Alone, will be debuting this holiday season. I think this has potential to be very funny.
Okay, here is your plot. Mickey is looking forward to spending Christmas at home. His plans take a turn when Minnie surprises him and a gang with tickets to spend Christmas at a world-famous ice palace. In the morning rush to make it out the door, Mickey and Pluto are left behind and home alone. They find themselves protecting their home from two feisty villains, a raccoon and a weasel, who are after their Christmas dinner, while Minnie and the gang try desperately try to make their way back home. And I will say, if they don't have Daniel Stern and Joe Pesci voice the two villains, they are missing a huge opportunity.
I don't want to see them remake Home Alone.
Well, yeah, I know. I don't
okay.
Either.
But could it be a good parody, Pete?
It could. It could be okay.
Because the traps, I guarantee, will not be nearly as mean-spirited as paint cans to the face. And you
yeah,
know,
but who are the villains going to be, do you think?
It's a raccoon and a weasel.
Oh, sorry, I missed that part. Yeah, yeah, but how's it not Pete? You have it be like it, Pete?
Okay, unless it's one of the weasels from,
Roger Rabbit or Wind in the Willows.
Yes, yeah. That direction you could go.
But do you know what I think I would rather see?
Lots.
The Muppets do Home Alone.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes, very much.
And have.
Oh,
have,
no, one of your.
Who's home like, alone though?
Animal.
Kevin McCallum.
Oh, no.
Bean Bunny Man.
Gonzo
would have to be Kevin.
Gonzo home yeah. alone, actually that.
You wouldn't want villains? Gonzo and
Gonzo and Rizzo together?
To be the villains?
No.
No.
No, no, no.
Gonzo would have to be Kevin.
Gonzo's gotta be Kevin. Your villains, oh, I would love to see Sweetums as one of them.
I was thinking Fozzie as one of the villains because he would
Sweetums
be so
and Sweetums and Fozzie
would be very funny.
Or the balcony people.
Sattler and Waldorf?
Yes.
No, they are like no, they are the ones who do the angels with filthy souls.
Okay. Oh yeah. Yes.
So
see okay. that why have they not done more things like that?
Why have they not asked us?
Yeah, why haven't they asked us? But God, that would be so if done correctly.
And yeah. they own Home Alone now, right?
Yeah, they do.
So yeah.
who would be the one human in the show?
None.
You would have no humans? You wouldn't
would
have
the mom? How about the mom?
No. Mom has to be a human.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want Piggy and Kermit to be the mom and dad?
Mom and dad? No. No. I would. The mom.
Kermit should be the Polka King.
No.
That's Fozzie. Fozzie would have to be the Polka King.
Fozzie the Polka King. Okay. Or, the guy with all the babies.
The guy with all the babies.
Well, yeah, the direct,
That's a deep cut though.
That's a deep cut. Or it's Dr. Teeth.
Oh yeah, that's probably where you throw the electric mayhem.
If we're
is in
looking
that bus.
At the original, I think Kermit needs to be the man. The neighbor who runs into Kevin at the church.
Oh, that's Sweetums.
No,
that's Sweetums in that he's big and mean, and hey, I love you guys. I mean, it's, which I will say though, guys, the new Muppets Rock and Roller Coaster is very, very well done.
Really?
I'm so excited to see that in August.
The pre-show is fabulous, especially Steve, be the last one out of the pre-show.
Okay. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Because my other half asked me, out of the new things, so the new updated Buzz Lightyear, Rock and Roll, and something else is
Soarin'.
Soarin', which one do you want to see the most?
Rocket.
I said the Muppets over the new Muppets overlay.
Buzz over Soarin', even though you basically have this Buzz at Disneyland, you still will prefer Buzz over the new Soarin'.
Okay.
The new Soarin' I was not impressed with. Okay. It's one of those, someone told the Imagineers, you have to do it over the Americas. And they said, okay, fine, here. So, Kate, what else have we got for Disney Plus news? Anything?
Oh, I got too excited. Okay, the only other thing is Disney has released new perks for Disney Plus subscribers. You can get $10 off a ticket to the live-action Moana with the code on the website. Subscribers can also get a free small popcorn at Regal Theaters when viewing Toy Story 5. Look for more perks every Friday this summer. I do have something I want to say about Toy Story 5. I did not know, I just learned this, that Taylor Swift is the only other songwriter who has been allowed to write a song for the Toy Story franchise other than Randy Newman.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I didn't know that.
Did Randy Newman write the Sarah McLachlan song?
I thought so.
Yes. When Somebody Loves Me, I'm 99% sure he did.
Yeah. Okay. Because it was a very big deal that Taylor was allowed to write a song. Her song, I Knew It, I Knew You.
Oh yeah, I'm sure they were like really in doubt of having the biggest star in the world write a song for their movie. I don't know.
If Randy Newman had been the only writer on the whole series, that is kind of a big deal to let.
It's a big deal, but like, what are they going to do? They want to market this movie.
Let's face it.
And Taylor Swift comes and says, hey, can I write a song for your movie? You're really going to go, no, you're not Randy Newman.
I confirmed, and he did write When She Loved Me. But does it seem like, again, one of those little acts of desperation of please come watch our movie so you can see the new Taylor Swift song?
Probably. Yeah,
It's the pre-sales say it's going to open huge, but I am I am unenthused.
I will be perfectly honest. I'm not sure if we're going to watch it on here. I will be 100% sure, honest, unless someone says it is much better than four.
I will.
There's potential there.
Yeah, I will. I don't like four at all. So I would have a hard. Well, I shouldn't say that. I would doubt it's worse than four, but
we'll watch it.
Did I ever tell you guys about what happened when I watched four on an airplane? Did I ever tell you all about this?
No.
Okay. I had gotten upgraded to Comfort Plus on Delta. I was on a red eye home from the West Coast. And I actually don't think I was drinking that night, but this woman, I was in the middle seat, and this woman next to me was pounding whiskey gingers. Pounding them. And this was an older woman. She was probably, I mean, not
careful,
older, she was young,
careful,
but probably like
careful.
In her 70s, maybe.
Okay.
And she looks at me watching Toy Story 4 and she's like, how old are your kids? I was like, it's just me. It's just me watching this because I do a Disney podcast with a bunch of other fully grown adults talking mostly about Disney movies. And thank you so much. How is that fourth whiskey ginger you're enjoying now? But it just made me laugh because this woman just turned over and she was like, how old are your kids? And I was like, I'm watching a fourth talk about Moon Crack.
Now you could say like, I do a podcast with a bunch of other adults that spontaneously cast Home Alone with Muppets.
there was one car ride.
And we cast lots of other things with Muppets too, to be
this is true. Yeah.
Casey, my husband and I have cast all of Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings as the Muppets as well when we get bored. So we've had fun with that. But yeah, that was my Toy Story 4 story.
Fair enough. Okay, so next week we are not watching Toy Story 4. We're going to be back in the vault again. A movie I can't believe we haven't watched yet, and a movie I don't know that I've ever actually seen all of. We're going to be watching Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Ooh, arguably one of the scariest villains in my opinion.
In Disney lore. Okay.
Arguably one of the scariest.
This movie to me is shockingly adult.
Okay.
It's a very adult movie to me. You can show it to a kid. It's not adult that way. But if you're watching it with adult eyes, it is a very adult. There's some very adult themes in this movie.
Okay. Yeah, I said I don't know that I've seen parts of it. I don't think I've ever seen the whole thing. So, and I think that's probably going to make me an outlier on this next one, because I think the rest of you have probably seen it.
I've seen it when it first came out.
Yeah, it's
when did this come out?
96.
Actually, okay, I saw it when it came out in 96, and within the last 5 years, I've seen a stage production musical of it.
Well, my daughter was in a stage production in high school, so.
Oh.
It's not a particularly happy show movie.
No, that's no. Neither is the book. Yeah. Well, by far, neither is the book. So it can't be much better than the book.
There used to be a Hunchback show?
Yes.
At Disney?
There was for several years at Hollywood Studios in the late 90s. There was a Hunchback show. I never saw it, and probably none of you ever saw it. But
was it where Beauty and the Beast is now?
I don't believe so. I think it was where the Frozen thing is.
Mm. Okay, that makes sense. So, anyway,
yeah, this is going to be an interesting watch.
Yeah, so that's what we're watching next week, Hunchback in Notre Dame. As I said, if you have suggestions on what you think we should watch, we need suggestions for 4th of July. We need suggestions for all our other shows. There's not much coming out in July and August, and we have some ideas. But if you have ideas, we will 98% of the time use those unless you say, you know, we need to massively stream Toy Story 4, which, sorry, it's not happening. Because once is once too many on that one. That's kind of like, the Navi River Journey. I would not wait 0 minutes. I would not watch that for 0 minutes again. But if you have suggestions, please send us an email at plusplatoon@gmail.com. Send us a message on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We are everywhere. We respond to everything. We have new podcasts coming out Thursdays on YouTube and all the major podcasting services. For Kate, Pete, and Steve, Gina, our producer in the background, we will see everyone next week. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Howdy, howdy, howdy.
For watching this week's episode of the Plus Platoon. Be sure to subscribe to the Plus Platoon podcast to keep getting great content each week. Then head over to Apple Podcast and leave those 5-star reviews as they help make the Plus Platoon visible to even more Disney Plus fans. Also, go to YouTube and like and subscribe to the Plus Platoon channel where you can watch all future episodes live. If you have a question for the Plus Platoon, please send us an email to plusplatoon@gmail.com or connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram @PlusPlatoon.
The Plus Platoon is a Disney Plus fan podcast and is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or the Disney Plus streaming service. All opinions expressed on the show are solely those of the individual hosts and in no way reflect the views of the Walt Disney Company.
Thanks for watching, and be sure to stay tuned for next week's episode because the Plus Platoon is to be continued.